Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for the privilege that you give us to meet in this forum, to break the bread of life, to come before your presence, Father, to hear that which you would speak unto us. I pray for the thoughts that are in my mind, the actions of my emotions, Father, that they would be centralized, that they would be focused upon you, and that the words that I speak, they will be spirit and there will be life, and that it will touch the hearts of those who have ears to hear. And I do pray for these ears, Father, that they might hear what the Spirit saith unto the church in this hour. I come against any darkness that would want to be manipulated by whatever spirit of distraction that would want to work within the soul of those here present. I come against it with the blood of Jesus. I bind it that it might have not the ability to distract or to divert. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you here. Praise God. You know, God, if you're hungry for God, you're going to hear the voice of God, and you're going to respond to the voice of God. And some of you may have had other plans to do other things today, I don't know. But you have decided to put those plans to the side and come to see what God might say to you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I am very thankful that of the calling and the election that is upon my life. I'm very glad of the awareness that I have of God, the reality I have of God. When I come to you, I do not come expecting anything. I'm not looking for you to give me anything. I'm not looking for you to like me or dislike me or whatever the case may be. The only thing that I come is expecting that I will have the opportunity to speak to hearts that are hungry. There is nothing I want from you. You know, as far as offerings and things of that nature is concerned, it is none of my business. That is not my business. Speaking about God is not my profession. I'm not working at it to make a living. Hallelujah. What I am looking for is hungry hearts. It says, they that hunger and thirst after God, they will be filled. Praise the Lord. And you know, we have traveled thousands of miles and gone into various places and had an audience of maybe two. Or maybe one. But in that audience, there was a response. And we can look back and we can go back, touch base with those individuals, and we can see the growth in the development of God in them. Hallelujah. What more reward would anybody want to know that the seed that they planted? Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I've been a farmer, and I know what it is to farm. It's hard work. And everything about farming, the ground, the weather, is contrary to what it is that you want to do. Praise the Lord. And it fights you. It resists you. It puts up every manner of device that it can possibly manufacture to keep you from reaping a harvest. Praise the Lord. But if you're a wise farmer, you go the extra mile, you put in the extra work, you put in the extra amount of labor that is required, you dig down into the midst of your resources to produce what it is, then at the end of the day, you're going to have what it is you wanted at the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we have been talking about the living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I kind of want to go in, if the Lord allows me, if the Lord permits me, I want to go into the mechanics of it. I hope you have a pen. I hope you have a paper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you cannot remember all of these things. Sometimes you have to make notes. Sometimes you have to write things down. Hallelujah. In fact, it's a proven fact that within a short time after you hear something, like a lecture, within 2 to 3 hours, you have forgotten over 75% of what you hear. Hallelujah. And by day two, you have maybe 3% of awareness of what was spoken. Praise the Lord. So repetition and diligence to go back over and go back over and go back over again and again is the key to finding out what is in the thing that God, the minister, was saying. Praise the Lord. We have gone to great lengths. When I say we, those of us who have been in fellowship with each other over this word that we are bringing to you, we have gone to great lengths to record it, to produce it, to print it, to distribute it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it's free. Did you hear me? It's free. And so if it is available and you do not take responsibility to get it, to read it, to meditate on it, to chew it, then it's not my fault. It's your fault. And the consequences at the end of the day, you want to turn that thing down just a little bit? The consequences at the end of the day, hallelujah, is not something that I am going to be held accountable for. One of the first lessons concerning relationships is my response. Hello?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My response. You can tell me I want to have a relationship with you. So I give you my phone number. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've done what is necessary in order to facilitate your desire. Praise the Lord. If my phone never rings, if your number never pops up on my phone, hallelujah, you cannot blame me for not having a relationship with you. There is something that is required of you as an individual to build a relationship. Hallelujah. And it's not just coming to church. I'm sorry to say that. I wish it was that easy. But it is not that easy. There, if you go into Matthew, I believe it is, the 6th chapter, and you go into the what we call in the church realm, the Beatitudes, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Hallelujah. They are all aspects of self-motivation. Hallelujah. You know, it is like we are using God as a free ticket. Hallelujah. We come into God not because we love God, but because we don't want to go to hell. That's why we come to God. Now, that isn't relationship. That isn't relationship. That's divine intervention on God's part. In spite of our condition, in spite of our position of ignorance concerning Him, in spite of the fact that we resist Him, we are rebellious in our aspects of nature, in our demeanor, and our behavior, God divinely intervenes in my situation to save my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in that saving, in that initial response from God to me, it activates in me a reality of Him. Now, if I have that activation, if I have that awareness, hallelujah, then I am going to do something about it. Do you understand? When you're hungry. Hallelujah. What do? When your stomach begins to growl, you feel a little down in your energy, and you're feeling that thought or that desire for something, what do? You go to where the food is. You go into the cupboard, you go into the fridge or whatever it is, or even you go down to the corner. And you have to pull out of your pocket something to pay for it. It costs you something to feed that body is saying, I'm hungry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is no different in the aspects of God. But the church, let me tell you something about church. We think that the word church sanctifies the assembling of yourself together where the name of God is pronounced. Hallelujah. That is a misconception. Hallelujah. Because you see, the devil got into church business a very long time ago. He said, well, I can't keep them from getting saved. So I have to devise a vehicle. I have to devise a means by which I can not keep them from getting saved, but keep them from going on to know about me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the institution, the organization that we call church was developed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it wasn't a new concept, because you look out in the world and you see all of the things, the mechanics of corporate structure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, corporate structure works right down to the corner down there in the shop that the woman has. Hallelujah. That she is working to sell her little products, and she has the people around her who are helping her. Praise the Lord. She is the boss. That's corporate structure. There's somebody on top delegating authority as to what can be done and what cannot be done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the minute you have that structure, you divert people from a position or from a place that are from the knowledge that God has called them for something better.
Amen.
God wants personal, viable relationship. I am not a doctor. This man's a doctor. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he can tell you the things of how the body works. But my whole body has a relationship with my head. My whole body. My little toe down there has a relationship with my head. It's attached to my foot. Hallelujah. But it does not take orders from my foot. Do you hear me? It does not take orders from my foot. My little toe takes orders from my head. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And my little toe does what the little toe is supposed to do when the little toe was supposed to do it, because the head is in charge of it. My foot is not in charge of my toe. Hallelujah. In fact, the message comes to my foot to work with my toe. Hello? And I'm using that because it's the extremity of my body. How many people think about your little toe? Do you ever think about it? No, not unless you stub it, not unless you hit it, not unless you bruise it, not unless you damage it. And all of a sudden, it sends a message to your entire body. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever stubbed and you feel the pain in your body? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The toe is bleeding, the toe is damaged, but my body is feeling the effect of it. How does it get that message? It goes to the head, and the head goes to the body instantaneously. Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on.
Come on, yes, come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm still talking to you about having a personal relationship with God. But you have to understand what it means to have a personal relationship with God. Not only do you have to understand what it is to have a personal relationship, but you have to discover the relationship you have isn't a personal relationship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I was a sinner, I didn't know I was a sinner. When I was out there smoking and drinking and carousing and doing the party, I thought I was having fun. Hello? Was anybody else like that? Is there anybody like that here? Huh? I thought I was having fun. It wasn't until I discovered that my fun wasn't fun. It was that my fun wasn't something that was that I was orchestrating, that I was in control of. Do you understand me? It was only when I became conscious of the reality of hell and that my actions were contrary to heaven and my actions were moving me not toward heaven but to hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And on the basis of that knowledge, I begin to have what they call conviction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That I was in trouble. And that I was sliding very quickly into a pit. A pit of which I could not get out of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God, if we could just understand the reality of what it means to just be born again. Here again. Born again is join a church.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when they baptize you into that church, they don't baptize you into God. They baptize you into a doctrine or a decree or ordinance that the church has defined that defines the church. Not ordinance that define God, but an ordinance that defines church. Hallelujah. So God is bringing back, do you hear me? God is bringing back an awareness to us of our position of jeopardy. Hallelujah. And you're here because you want to have some measure of truth. You're here because, you know, not everybody will come and sit down and listen to me. Some people get very mad at me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that's hard to believe, but they do. They get very, very mad at me. Some people really don't even like me. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't stop me. That doesn't dissuade me. That doesn't detract me for telling you the truth. Hallelujah. And it's not something I have personally against you or anybody or the thing that you're involved in, except that I am aware that the thing that people call church is not church.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an organized structure of religion. So most of us have a relationship, an interaction with religion.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I am not talking to you out of biblical context. I am talking to you out of New Testament theology. It says the devil shall come as an angel of
light.
What?
Light.
Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
Now, who is this angel of light going to come to? Is he going to come to the sinner out here?
No.
No, absolutely not. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Why would the devil, who wants them out there to know that he's a devil, come to them as disguised as an angel of light? Huh? Hallelujah. His angel of light demeanor, his angel of light behavior, hallelujah, is held in reserve for those who call themselves Christians. We don't even understand the term Christian. Much less the concept of church. Christian is a word that comes from another word or two words that are put together that means to be like Christ. That's what Christian means. Every time you say I'm a Christian, you're saying I am like Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the word in itself is even deceptive, you understand. Because we are not having that position or that place of relationship. We are not drawing nigh to God. We're drawing nigh to church. We're coming at the appointed time. We're doing the appropriate thing. But something in our lives is not changing. A relationship with Jesus Christ changes you.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I was in the world and I was involved in sin, my sins did not bother me. They didn't bother me. I liked them. I enjoyed them. Only when I met Jesus. You see, I had several problems when I got saved. And when I got saved, or when I came back to the Lord, those problems just did not disappear. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I reconsecrated my life. I was serious in my consecration. I was serious in my desire, but those habits did not change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I would go one day to the next, commiserating with my wretchedness, but continuing to be more wretched and to do more wretched things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was only as those that wretchedness began to become apparent in my understanding that it began to drive me to find God. Hello?
Yeah.
I begin to read my Bible. I begin to pray. Hallelujah. I begin to pray and say, God, I need deliverance. I need to change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I was not a church person. I didn't know what I was saying was a biblical concept. I did not know the Word of God. I didn't have a man teaching me or preaching to me. All I had was a desire to be in a position of fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. And as I had that desire and I was pushing and working, God was all the time coming down, coming closer to me in my wretched condition. And the closer He got, the more wretched I felt.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We make rules. We make regulations. We say, do this, do that, don't do this, do this, do that, do that. Which none of us can obtain to, or hold to, or be perfect in. Because change does not come from the outside. It does not come from the outside. Change comes from the inside. Hallelujah. That was the whole idea between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God was saying, I have not come to destroy the prophets and the law. I have come to fulfill them. How was He going to fulfill them? The totality of what was in the prophets, in the law, was in Christ Jesus. Coming forth like a tree that was planted and that its leaves would go out and that it might bear fruit, that all that would be partake of it would be healed. Hallelujah. And so it is also with us in our position or our place with God. And you know, there's another fallacy in the church concerning Jesus Christ. We think that He's one of a kind. And that there was something special God did for Him, that God did for Him only. Hallelujah. But it's not. It's not a biblical concept. It's not a biblical principle. And Paul said it to the church. He said, "Thou fool, dost thou not know that that which is a seed must fall into the ground and die in order to produce an abundance of what it is the tree produces?" Hello? He says he was the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Do you consider yourself a brethren? Do you consider yourself a part of that company that is called the family of God? Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, when you are born again, hallelujah, you are translated. Hello? You are translated out of your realm of death and darkness. You are a new entity, but we do not see the reality of it. We look in the mirror and we still see me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God never intended for you to remain in that condition. But the devil is a master of theology. Romans 7 says that he took that which was good. And what did he do with it? He utilized it. He took it. And he twisted it. And he turned it upside down. And that which was made or given to produce life in me, what? Killed me. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the devil using the word of God to kill you, to damn you, to take you to a position of hell and desolation in spite of the fact that you have been born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And don't tell me you have this philosophy, once saved, always saved, because it is not a scriptural principle. The Bible says that you and I are to work out our salvation. Did you hear it? Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why should I fear and tremble if I'm saved, if I've got the blood of Jesus Christ? Why should I fear and tremble? But God said, be fearful and tremble. Why? Because if I do not do what I am responsible to do, there is a consequence to me. Are you familiar with the parable in the Bible where there was a wedding feast and there were many guests and the master of the feast was there in walking in the midst of the people and he comes upon a man and he says, "Friend." Huh? Are you familiar with it? He says, "Friend." He called him friend. God called the man friend. Why? Because there's a special position of relationship that friend, the word friend, brings to your mind. And the Bible, beyond that, has a definition for friend. And God defined it, you know. The Bible defines itself, by the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said of Abraham, "Should not I tell my friend Abraham?" Hallelujah. So that man in that feast was not a sinner. He was an invited guest. You know, this is a closed party, you know. It's by invitation only. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to one of those? Invitation only? Hallelujah. You're invited to come to a funeral. They give you an invitation. You go. If you don't have that invitation, you're not getting in there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there was an acceptance to the aspect of the invitation, but he did not do what was required of him. Everyone else had a garment on. Everyone had a garment on. Hallelujah. And he said, where is your wedding garment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was the consequences? The Bible is very explicit. They took him and they kicked him out, but they didn't just kick him out. They kicked him out into the darkness where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what my Bible says. Isn't that what your Bible says? Hallelujah. What does that sound like to you? Come on, what does it sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like hell? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, there are certain words in the Bible that you and I need to be conscious of. One of those other words in the Bible is the scripture in the New Testament where it says the way into heaven is straight and narrow. And what does it say? What does your Bible say? Come on. I want you to tell me what your Bible says. Does anybody know what it says? Few. 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 Few that find it. You know, when I read that, you know what the question is? Praise the Lord. Am I one of the few? Am I one of the few? You know, we assumed. Before I came to a knowledge or an understanding, I assumed I was one of the few. I assumed that I was one of the few. There was no question in my mind. Oh yes, I'm one of the few. That's not talking about me. That's talking about you. And you and you and you and you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's not talking about you, you and you. It's talking about me. God wants me to examine my position. Examine myself. Hallelujah. And you know, I have to be willing to acknowledge the position of my fragility, my weakness, my infirmity. I have to be willing. Hello? If I am asking God to show me, and somebody comes up and hits me, hallelujah, what is my reaction? Not on the outside per se, but what is my reaction on the inside? If somebody says something to me that is not true, and they are slandering me around about, what is my first reaction? You know what mine is? It's one of self-defense. The barriers go up against that person. All kinds of thoughts become coming into my head of why I am not what that person says I am. Hallelujah. And it begins to order in my mind a line of defense if I ever encounter. I'm not going to say anything. But if I'm encountered, I'm lining up my line of defense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the devil knows us. He knows the darkness that is within us. He knows what buttons to push, how to push them, when to push them. And you know, he is so precise. He is so absolutely in tune with his kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would to God that we as a people could be just as in tune with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God is bringing order back to the church. He's bringing order back to the church in that he is giving to you and I a understanding or a perception of first what is wrong and then what it is we can do to fix it. Hallelujah. And one of the things that we can do to fix it is to understand where it is we are, or I should say where we are not and what it is we are not. Hallelujah. But what it is in God's mind that he wants us to be and what are the tools he has given us by which we might obtain it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Or is this pretty hard? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a little picture in the Bible. And I want to draw this little picture for you. Oh, I need the chalk. Hallelujah. And I want to draw this little picture. God was, in His wisdom, put a picture in the Bible. And everything that is in this picture is in the Bible. And everything that is in the Bible is in this picture. Hallelujah. And it was the totality of God's plan for man. What was God's plan? Hallelujah. You probably think it is just to get saved and get into heaven, right? Well, you may not think that now. Praise the Lord. But God's plan is very clear. God's plan is very evident. Hallelujah. Let us turn over into Genesis 1. I want to go to show you God's plan. God's plan. God's plan for humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first thing that we have to understand is that humanity is a temporary state of being. Did you hear me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Humanity is a transitional position between where it is you are when you were born to where it is that God wants to bring you at the end of the day. Humanity is a transitional position. It's temporary. Well, if you don't think so, just look at us who are getting older. When I was 20, I wasn't thinking about dying. When I was 30, I wasn't thinking about the strength dissipating in my body doing certain things. When I was 30, it became a little more evident. When I was 40, its evidence became more pronounced. When I was 50, it became something of a reality. When I turned 60, hallelujah, I was very much aware of what the goal of humanity was. Hallelujah. But humanity is temporary. What God intended was to make you divine. Hello? Hallelujah. Humanity is temporary. Divinity is eternal. So anything in the realm of humanity, if you had a realm, I'll just draw something like the world, you know. Hallelujah. Anything that is in the world is human. And so therefore everything in the world is temporary. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't really believe in the temporary of us, I suggest that you read Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. Solomon's revelation of humanity. Solomon's revelation of the temporariness of the place of the world in which he lived. This is not God's plan for man. God never intended for you to remain stagnant. Can you imagine anything in God remaining stagnant? You go out here to a pond of water that has no inlet, no outlet, and you see all manner of creeping things and ugly things growing in it. Hallelujah. Would you drink of that? Would you take it home to cook in? Hallelujah. Would you take it home to feed to your children? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. Nothing here is permanent. It's stagnation. Hallelujah. And we are to be able to go through it. Now, the Bible talks about the children of Israel in a wilderness. Right? He talked about wilderness. So the world is not only temporary, but in the Bible, it is symbolic of a wilderness. Hello? That means everything out here in the world is subjugated to the wilderness mentality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God found you in that wilderness. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God found you in that wilderness. Praise the Lord. So we have what we call the tabernacle of the wilderness. Are you familiar with it in your Bible? Exodus 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 deals with the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, this is not just something that Moses conjured up in his mind. It is something that came from the mind of God to Moses. Now, do you know that your Bible is symbolic? Huh? Do you know that? The New Testament calls it types and shadows. It calls it allegorical. You understand the word allegorical? Hallelujah. It is illustrating something in a natural realm that exists in a spiritual or higher dimensional realm. A realm in which spirits as well as God exist. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when Moses went up to the mount, it was a symbolic position of relationship that Moses had with God. That God could take him up to a level or a realm in which he himself was abiding. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Moses was a man, hallelujah, that had a nature that was conducive to the drawing of God to him. He had a nature in him that was conducive to drawing. So he is representative not of just a man who had that capability, but he is representative of a collective body of people who want to know God. Hallelujah. You know, would to God that our testimony could be like Moses. That the people said, you go up. The people were afraid of God. Hallelujah. Are you afraid of God? Oh boy. Hallelujah. But the people were afraid of God. And they said to Moses, you go up. We won't go up lest we die. Oh, we don't care about you, Moses. You go up. You go up. You go up, Moses. You go up. And you know that's why we have a church structure the way that we have a church structure. Huh? Yes. You want the pastor to go up? You want the pastor to go up? You don't want to go up. Hallelujah. You don't want to get that close to God. Let him go up. And if lightning strikes him, when we know we're okay. Hallelujah. Let him go up. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses is a type. He's a company of people. He's a type. He's a shadow. And if we are not part of that company, we should, with the knowledge, desire, when we learn about it, want to be a part of it. Want to be a piece of it. Want to be partakers in it. In fact, as Moses starts to go up, we say, wait for me, Moses. Wait for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there is something to be said about that type of a nature. Do you know there is a nature, there is a demeanor, there is an aspect of behavior that God cannot deny. Do you understand what I mean? He cannot fail to recognize it. He cannot fail to respond to it. He cannot fail to do what he has to do because of the nature of the individual that is moving toward him. Hallelujah. It's so much demonstrated in the Bible. Yes, please. Would you do it for me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Come on, say it like you mean it, not like you're tired.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something to be said about that kind of tenacity. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after God, for what? They shall be filled. There is a man in your Bible, New Testament. He's called the demoniac. Now, you have to understand something here. This man had no blood of Jesus Christ yet. This man had no Holy Ghost yet. Had not yet been given. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The man was filled with a legion of devils. Do you hear me? A legion is anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000. It's a term used to describe a contingent of the Roman army. And they were, legion was somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000. Hallelujah. This man, full of those demons, he would be chained. James couldn't hold him. He had to dwell in the caves. People would not come around him. He was a maniac. He was a terror. Hallelujah. Nobody could control him or confine him or constrain him. Hallelujah. And yet those demons, come on, those demons could not keep him from Jesus Christ. Huh? Now, do you think those demons wanted to go to Jesus? Do you think those demons, hallelujah, we're not fighting?
They were fighting.
You don't think those demons were not trying to stop his legs, stop his hands, stop his voice, stop his mind, stop his emotion, moving in every way that is possible? Hallelujah. To keep that man from coming down the hill. And that man came down the hill like a madman. He was fighting the devil. Have you ever seen somebody fighting the devil?
Yeah.
Huh? I have. Fighting the devil, man, shouting and screaming, and he was dirty, maybe naked, his hair was all out here. He probably stank all the way from here to the place that he was coming from. Hallelujah. And they were doing everything they possibly could do to keep that man from coming down to Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop him.
Hallelujah.
And brethren, no blood yet. No blood. No blood. No blood of Jesus Christ yet. Just the want to.
Amen.
Just the want to in the man.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just the want to. And I'll tell you another little secret. Jesus went there because of that man. Hello? He went there because of that man. There was something in that man that was saying, God, if there is a God, if there is a reality of a living God, I want that God. I need that God in my darkness, in my place of demonic behavior. Deliver my soul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Something in the man was crying for deliverance.
Yeah.
And God heard it.
Hallelujah.
And he said to Jesus,
Amen.
I want you to go over there. I want you to go to that island over there. Get in the boat. Row across the sea. Hallelujah. I have an appointment for you. There's a man coming to visit you. And you've got something that I want you to give him. Hallelujah. And there's something that I want to demonstrate in the giving of it. Hallelujah. 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 And so that man comes running down the hill, fighting those devils. You know, I can even see the disciples. Eyes getting really big. Mouth dropping open. Hallelujah. And I can see them all crowding behind Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I remember one time we were someplace in Africa. And there was this demonic expression and in confrontation. And I was with Brother Duciel. I just took Brother Duciel and got behind him. Whoa! Hallelujah! But Jesus wasn't moved. Now, you know what that man did? Do you have any idea, any comprehension? He bowed that 2,000 to 5,000 league of devils bowed down before the feet of Jesus. Amen. Hell bowed down to Jesus.
Amen.
They could not restrain him from bowing. And when he bowed, hell bowed with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hell bowed with him. And hell lamented, Jesus, thou Son of God, why have you come to torment us before our time? Hallelujah. That's right, sister. It was the time! And we are now living again in the time of God coming into his temple.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are living in the time of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we're not looking for Jesus Christ to come in the right way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is going to come in his temple first. Jesus is going to come in his temple first. Which temple you are?
Amen.
Which temple you are?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are the temple of the living God. God does not build buildings made of stone. God builds lively stones. Take this stone and put it on that stone and that stone. On that stone, that stone, that stone, that stone, that stone, that stone. And then God comes in and he fills it. Hallelujah. Individually, as well as collectively, God comes into your soul. Hallelujah. 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 We are waiting to go to heaven. We're waiting to get into heaven. We're hoping to get into heaven when heaven should be coming down. Heaven should be filling your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The temple of God is made to and designed to inhabit the living, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God.
Amen.
Loose. That's what you are designed for, sir.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you are designed for, madam.
Hallelujah.
That's what you're designed for, young man.
Yes.
That's what you're designed for, young lady.
Yes.
God to inhabit you.
Yes.
God to fill you. To God to manifest himself through you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God might move through you as light moves through darkness.
Amen. Preach.
Listen. Listen, listen. Hallelujah. You know, if we live in this realm is hell. Huh? This realm, which is all around here. This realm, all around here, it's hell. It's world. Hallelujah. It's darkness. Hallelujah. It's death. It's damnation. It's condemnation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's frustration. It's futility. It's disappointment. It's anger. It's lust. It's world. It's hell and death and desolation. Loose! Why would I want to be in this realm as a Christian? Why would I want to live and draw my substance from this realm when I have been called to a higher realm That is called heaven. That is called heaven. It's not only called heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's called the kingdom. Come on. It's called the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Loose them. Why would I want to live down here? It's low bite. Do you hear me? Low bite. It's feeding off a low bite. Hallelujah. When you partake of the grass that is low bite, you don't get the nourishment. You don't get the energy. You don't get the life. And in the consumption of the low grass, you get all the mixture of dirt and things that are upon it. God made us to feast upon that which is lush and green and life and living and liberty and the position or the place of victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God. This picture of heaven is not just a picture of heaven or the kingdom of God, but it is a picture of your soul. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It is a picture of your soul. Hallelujah. And God begins to delve into. God begins to take you and begins to walk with you as He walked with Adam in the garden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever wanted to be there? I did. I wanted to walk with Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I wanted to hear God talking. I wanted to hear what God was saying to Adam. I wanted to know the mysteries that God was explaining to Adam. I wanted to know the intricacies of God's character that God was telling to Adam. I wanted to walk with Adam in that place of the garden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when I am born again, I have been translated. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it is in that place and in that place of fellowship that I have the privilege of being able to walk with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have the privilege of hearing Him. I have the privilege of understanding Him. I have the privilege of seeing Him. I have the privilege of becoming like Him. My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the Lord brought us this revelation, I was 25 years old. And I have been through troubles and tribulation, trials, disasters. I have been through heartaches and sufferings and high places and some very low, low, low places. But in every low place, God, by the virtue of the knowledge of what it is that He has called me to, by virtue of the position or the place that I have assigned for me as a destiny in God, it held me, it sustained me, it carried me through, it burdened, sometimes it just carried me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like the shepherd would put a lamb upon his neck, and he would carry the lamb because the lamb did not yet have the strength to do what it needed to do. God, by His word, I should have been dead. Do you hear me? Dead. Physically, mentally, emotionally. I should have been dead. But God in His virtue, by the word of God that had been given to me, sustained me in every aspect of that tribulation, every aspect of that fire, every aspect of that trying and desolation and the tearing down of my humanity. God sustained it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why should I again turn to the beggarly elements? Why should I return to the rudiments of this world when my destiny, do you hear me? When my destiny is not a temporal thing. My destiny is not for just a short space of time. My destiny is eternal. My position is eternal. Whatever it may need, whatever it is that God sees fit to give me, Whatever it is, I want it to be the very best. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know something? When John and James come to Jesus Christ and they said, "We want to sit on your right hand. We want to sit on your left hand." He did not rebuke them. Didn't rebuke them. He said, "You ask a hard thing." It says, it's open. It's available. But it's a hard thing. And it says, it is not mine to determine, but it is of the Father to do with as He so sees and is His good pleasure. Would it not be the Father's good pleasure to reward you and I for a tenacity that would push through every obstacle, push through every aspect of the world that is around us that would want to hinder us and want to divert us and to keep us? Would He not allow, as you grab hold of the hem of His garment, would He not allow that virtue to flow to you?
Amen. Got you.
The woman commanded the virtue. Did you hear me? It wasn't Jesus voluntarily giving her the virtue. It wasn't Jesus Christ that gave her the virtue. She commanded the virtue to come out of Christ. He said, "Who touched me?"
Hallelujah.
He didn't even know who touched him after she touched him. All he knew is that virtue. And you know, it must have been a special load. It must have been a special load. I mean, she must have got something out of him that he felt his natural being and strength growing out of him. Hallelujah! She reached right into God. She reached right into Jesus. And not only did she touch Jesus, but she touched God the Father. And then she pulled God the Father down through Jesus into her own being.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And she was healed.
Amen.
She was healed. How much more will God give to you and give to you and give to you and give to you and give to you? How much more will God give to you? As He gave that woman, maybe even more. It's something for us to think about. Something for us to chew on. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Just to emphasize one or two things that what we're talking about.